We'll hit record. Thank you, voice recording lady. All right, welcome to the Aries call for the 26th of May. I believe we're in May. We are in May. 26th of May. Our plan today is to ratify the Aries Interrupt Profile version 2. And also on the agenda is a little bit of discussion about the Wacky PEX process and hopefully a call for a volunteer or two on pieces of it. The link to the agenda, I will paste in chat again. Here it is for you. We're not pressing people on adding themselves to the attendees list, but I would really like everyone to add yourself to the attendees list today because of the AIP 2 ratification stuff that we're going to be talking about. So I promise I will not bug you every time, but if you would add yourself to the attendees list, that would be delightful so that we have a good record of this. And I will also be more timely on the posting of the recording of this one than I have been in the past couple. I've been really busy. So I will make that happen. Anyone new today that has not introduced themselves previously and would like to? All right. In June, we have the Hyperledger Global Forum. Related meetings review. I will offer the DIDCOM working group discussion this Monday. Was talking about that we've been continuing, and I hope we have found a conclusion to the key by ID or key by value conversation. And that should result in a PR this week that we can talk about, not on Monday because there's a US holiday this next Monday, but we're going to meet on Tuesday. It's the following. No, we're not doing that. We're handling it online. And then it's the other meeting. The Wacky PEX meeting is going to happen on Tuesday because there's no Monday one. So that's going to happen. And when we see that PR, we'll be able to talk about it and get it in there and work out all those issues. So that's important. That will result in a minor change from what we've done in DIDCOM V1, which was keys by value in the encryption layer. Keys will instead be passed by key ID, which changes the point where you actually have to resolve something before you decrypt a message. But good conversations there. Also, open conversation about whether we actually need to encrypt the sender in the encryption step as well is another piece of the discussion we've been having. So, other meetings that we want to report on?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've been catching up on the DIDCOM meeting. Did you say you were going to create an issue around?
I did, and I didn't make it yet. That occurred to me as I was saying so. I will repent and make that happen. Thanks, Andrew, for calling me out on not doing what I said I was going to do. So I'll make it happen.
It did sound reasonable from the discussion that the best way forward is probably just to not encrypt the SKID and rely on mediation to protect that when it's necessary.
Right. And we'll see if we have strong pushback on that. It simplifies a handful of things. If we don't have to, but we've done it before and we had lots of conversations before. So, but it's worth revisiting because of the complexity it adds. All right, Steven.
Indie meetings, Indie Did Method's been canceled for the last few weeks. And the contributors were still wrapping up CI/CD. So still not making, pushing out the Ubuntu release, but progress is being made just very, very slowly.
And I will bring up the Cardia working group meeting that's happening tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain Daylight Time. We're going to be talking about the schemas being utilized within that ecosystem. So,
and I believe the Good Health Pass folks are showing up to talk about that as well at that Cardia working group meeting. Is that right, James?
That sounds correct to me.
Okay. Awesome. Any other meetings? All right. Releases and work updates. Ares test harness.
Yeah. The news there, we've got, thanks to some work done by the AFGO folks to put in some compensations for ACOPI. We've got those tests, some of those tests running. And so we've now got connectivity going between those. And we know what's got to change for AIP2 as we move those forward. So we're starting to work, we are working those. So Ares Framework Go can take out the compensations they put in. The other news was Ares VCX folks are working on a back channel as well. And hopefully will be added to Ares Agent Test Harness real soon now, so we can start publishing the results with them. So that's cool too.
Awesome. Ares Shared Components, Andrew.
Yes, work continues on final 0.2 release. ACOPI is all compatible with it up to now on the Shared Components branch. And I'll be talking about it more at the Hyperledger Global Forum as well.
Is there still an anticipated cutover for ACOPI going full ASCAR?
Plan is for it to be both for a while.
So either or?
Yeah.
You can like a flag?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. And timeline on that?
Hopefully we'll get, so that brings us to Ares Cloud Agent Python. 070RC01 is still pending. Most of the changes are in. The two we're still looking for is to do the merge of the diff PE PR, and then the Ares ASCAR merges that are pending. We hope to do that next week. We are losing Mr. Klump. Stephen Klump is changing jobs and moving away from this project, which makes us sad. So he's gone at the end of this week. So he's asked us to hold off on merging the PE change in particular so that somebody else has to fight with the cleanup of the PR. So his can go in cleanly and Shanjot can deal with the presentation exchange updates for the change he's making right now. So that's the news from that. So the idea is hopefully next week we get at least RC01 for 070, and it includes both of these items. Andrew, am I lying?
That sounds right, I think.
Woo!
Cool. So release 070 will have flaggable ASCAR ability?
Yeah.
Word.
Yes.
That's exciting.
And we had some folks on the call, previous call, the ACOPOG meeting, and they've got a test environment set up where they're stress testing issuing. And so we're hoping to be able to get this soon enough into their hands so they can give it a shot and see just a sort of apples to apples difference. I don't know whether that's possible, but we're hoping they can do that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Cool. All right, Ares Framework Go. Trey.
I guess I have my usual spiel and Stephen covered the important points. I think Universal Resolver PR was just opened on Ares Test Harness so that the Go implementation can resolve the did solves during the test. Progress on Test Harness is the biggest update.
Fantastic. Ares Mobile Agent React Native?
This is the off week on that call, but making forward progress. We've gotten the relevant iOS wrappers for verifiers for present proof in the RNND SDK. So, and been working on the state management pieces. So making steady progress. I think we'll have some good updates to show there soon.
Very cool. Aries Framework JavaScript. I don't see those folks.
I don't think there's too much to update on that. Our call is tomorrow, but making steady progress on mediation. I think we'll be finishing that up in the next week or two of being able to work with ACAPI and making forward progress on revocation as well.
Cool. Any other projects we want to report on?
JavaScript seems to be moving forward because released version 25.0.0.25 unstable was, I believe, the latest. So lots happening, that's for sure.
Yes. It's picking up speed, I think. I'm quite excited about the progress we're making.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. On our agenda today is talking about the Aries AIP 2 ratification. We have just a couple of items to talk about there. Awesome. We've got newly added PRs for that. That's fantastic. And then a little bit of conversation at the end about the WackyPack stuff. So that is really good. I appreciate people adding themselves to this list. If you could, I will add the meeting notes in. It's more relevant than usual because of our AIP2 ratification efforts today. So if you wouldn't mind adding yourself to the attendees list there, that would be appreciated. I promise I won't bug you every week, but this one's kind of important for that. Are there any adjustments to the agenda that we should make before we get going? All right, we have PRs. I was going to start with this one, Stephen. Are these all tagged? They're not yet.
I was about to tag them. Yeah, I was just doing that right now. Okay.
Let's talk about this one. This is add goal to did exchange. Add goal code to did exchange. Sorry. And who? Dominic Warner. Am I pronouncing that properly? Has submitted this. And what he's doing is in did exchange we are adding a goal and goal code, the goal to be used of Aries rel build to build a relationship. And then there's a couple of other typos and stuff that, you know, he added parentheses around the optional did duck attach, for example. And he contains this, or he has this. The only thing that struck me is that there might be cases where you're doing did exchange. Well, this did exchange is the same. I was thinking about how this interacts with out of band, Stephen. When you're doing out of band, that's the first part of did exchange. And then your out of band could have a separate stated goal code. And then the goal code here would just, be Aries rel build, right?
Yeah, chances are you wouldn't use goal code in that case. So the thing to keep in mind is that the main driver for this was the fact that if you're using an implicit connection, in other words, you just find a did of the other party, you grab the service block out of it and send this as the very first message. So there is no out of band message. Then you need a goal code, which is the primary use of this.
Right. So the only other, that's super good clarification, right? In that it's that implicit flow where you don't start from from a message. The question I have is this a little redundant? You're requesting an exchange of dids. Is there another reason besides building a relationship that you might be requesting an exchange of dids? Or what kind of clarity does this add, not already made?
I mean, I think the whole intention of goal codes is to allow you to go beyond just building a relationship. So I think there's value in this. But you know, that's a good point. Dominic did not want to specify any other goal codes to be used or, you know, add a catalog. So it is kind of open in doing more than this, but
Well, it strikes me that you could specify that you intend a long-term relationship versus a short-term relationship, right?
Yeah.
With a goal code, and because they would both start with did exchange in this particular case. So, or the type of relationship that you're seeking to create. But so this allows space for that. So I'm not opposed really, but I was trying to avoid redundancy for redundancy's sake.
Yeah.
So since it is a goal code, does he talk about the fact that, so he actually doesn't specify that it must be Aries Rel build.
No, that's what I'm saying. He did not want to specify a catalog of ones to be used.
Right.
Which is a little bit awkward, but.
A little, but what it does do is that it means that as we discover goal codes that we'd like to use, we can use them without having to come back and touch this, which I like.
Exactly. Which is why I think this has value.
Is a catalog not required for a goal code? Like, I mean, what? How do you interop with this if there's no specification of what codes are understood?
So we haven't really gotten to that level of maturity on goal codes yet. That's probably coming pretty quick, where we'll have some way of sort of talking openly about that. That way we can leverage them as a community. But we haven't really got there yet. The concept was introduced. We like the concept. It's grown in its use, and we don't yet have a catalog. So I think a catalog effort separate from this PR, I think, would be valuable. Does that kind of not answer your question, Devin?
Yeah, with the out of band, I thought there was kind of like a little bit of a catalog, like a list of ones that could be. I just if there's no catalog, it almost seems pointless to me.
Well, this allows for the mechanism, and I think we do need to do a catalog. He just didn't want to create one here. So he's not anti-catalog. I think he's anti-making one as part of this PR.
On the fly.
Yeah.
Right, but if we're making this part of the AIP, there's no interop surface here.
There is. It's support of the goal code fields and being able to receive a message that has those fields, the goal and the goal.
Yeah, I agree, but nobody's going to know what could even be in there. So you might as well just ignore it. I couldn't anticipate what you would send to me because I don't know anything that you might send to me other than, I guess, what's in the example.
I think you're right. Technically you're not supposed to puke on a message if you receive unexpected attributes.
And this is all redundant to that, right?
So this is kind of saying these are official attributes, although they're optional. But you're right. It's a very small step forward for interoperability around this. I think it will be actually useful moving forward pretty quick. I think that goal codes are one of the things that I'd like to talk about more in a post AIP2 world. I think your point is well taken. But the net of this particular PR is let's officially recognize goal and goal code as fields on did exchange, specifically on the request. I guess he included them in all of them now that I think about it, which is fine. So I think you're right. I still think I am in favor of this, even though it doesn't add a tremendous amount to what we're talking about for AIP2. Troy says he's okay. Other comments?
I'm okay with it, but I would like it slightly better if the sample was the sample goal code was something like aries.rel.build.temporary or .build.permanent or something to show or imply at least why this is useful information. Because generically to build a relationship is kind of the definition of did exchange.
Right, it's so redundant.
Yeah, so it would make it less redundant if we picked a slightly different goal code, one that was more specific. But I wouldn't hold up the PR for it.
That can be a clarification, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah.
Is anyone opposed to merging this PR and having it be part of AIP2?
So, I just want to make one, if we're not having a catalog, then these examples are not standardized. They're just examples.
Yes.
People might use them. They might not. We might choose a different catalog. Nobody's building with these samples as what they're expecting to receive or not receive or anything like that.
Correct.
Okay.
There's some nuance to the conversation about catalogs and about how these things are actually, codes are actually created and organized and formed. And that's a good conversation, but I don't want to have it in advance of AIP 2. Okay, so I haven't heard any opposition to this and several folks voicing their support. I say we do this. Unless anyone is opposed, please do speak up. Oh, can I update the branch? Yes, it is happy. Cool. Maybe, what? Oh, the confirm merge is up here. Confused myself. Excellent. Okay, back to pull requests. We have three. Here's adding P-curve to 0510. Troy submitted this one. Any commentary you'd like to make specifically about this, Troy?
Yeah, so this PR is just about having the ability to request a P-curve using the JSON Web Signature 2020 proof type. I think last time there was discussion about should we have extended options, but that PR didn't get created. So instead, if you scroll down, what I've done is the same as in envelopes, where I just say, instead of having extended options in this iteration, basically we're just recognizing P256 and P384. I think the P384 is the more important one, obviously, but I just matched what's in the envelope stuff right now. So if you wanted to, anyways, that's the gist of what I did here.
And this is made to 510, the presentation exchange attachment, which formalizes the use of presentation exchange within the credential exchange protocols.
So I care more about the P384, but just for consistency, I also put P256.
Right. Whatever works. Okay. And then here's the additional request parameters specified here, right, to clarify those. Any commentary?
I haven't really seen this one yet. Is it basically just a ECDSA signature?
Yeah, if you scroll down, I put that in the table. Okay. Maybe I didn't. If you go to, that actually is specified in JSON Web Signature 2020, if you click the link there. If you scroll down, sorry, it's at the bottom of the
this one?
Specification. That's actually specified in JSON Web Signature 2020. Scroll down. Sorry. There you go.
And so these are the two that you're including for support.
Yeah, because we already have the 25519 already, so I didn't think we needed to duplicate it. I don't know that anybody's asking for the Bitcoin curve right now, and I haven't heard anybody care about RC, so I just put the two P curves in.
Shouldn't the types be ES256 and ES384? Not just the curve name.
I can add whatever's needed. Would you like me to add something? I was mostly just trying to say take those elements from the table. But,
I see. You're supposed to be types.
Yeah, sorry, that may have been. I could do a clarification if there's a better way to word that, but I'm just trying to say take those two rows from the JSON Web Signature 2020 table.
Right.
And the rest of this, I basically copied and pasted from the previous example.
Right. So, but just with a different proof type here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You might want to add a column with the algorithm there.
Yeah, I can do that. Do you want me to do that now, or I'll just follow up? You mean like copy the table from JSON Web Signature 2020, basically? You want to see ES256.
I don't think we need the key agreements and encryption columns.
Okay, so I'll just add ES256 and ES384.
Yeah, that's all I'm thinking.
Cool. Other commentary on this PR. We are, because this is related to the to AIP 2 will not be leaving this out for a week for evaluation. So this is a, if you're uncomfortable, now is a good time to speak up.
Can we throw in the, I mean, it doesn't seem to cost anything to throw in the Bitcoin one as well. KA2P56.
It does mean that we are requiring support for it in AIP 2. So it does cost.
Yeah, I think the problem right now is we don't really have options of specifying which subset of JSON Web Signature you want. And that's why I basically just put P curves for now. I definitely think a follow-up could be more options available, but this is just what I could do kind of that last minute here to at least have the base.
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, like in Oscar, we don't have P384 support because there isn't good Rust support for that yet. So we wouldn't actually be able to validate a P384 signature, but we can still recognize one and return a useful error potentially. seems like kind of the same thing with the 256K, K256 mm-hmm. curve, and that you could just say, no, actually, I don't support that key type.
There is a good opportunity to.
Just one note, actually. Sorry, I didn't cut you off. So, there is an actual suite for the Bitcoin curve. So I think the right thing to do is, if you want Bitcoin curve, we just make a new section that has the appropriate LD signature suite for the K1 curve. You don't have to do it with JSON Web Signature.
Right.
So basically what we end up saying is, if you see JSON Web Signature right now, that just means P curve. And I think definitely a new section could get added for the K1 with the type from the LD CryptoSuite registry for the P1 curve.
So are we saying that if you do JSON Web Signature, then these are the ones that you must support? Are we saying that if you do JSON Web Signature and you want to support one of these, then here's how you do it? There's a subtle difference that I intend there.
Yeah, it kind of comes back to the minimum level of support that AIP requires.
Right.
I think what we're saying right now is you have to at least recognize it, right? But your implementation might not be able to handle it. I think that's kind of a general thing as well, right? You're doing like hardware modules, you might not have every crypto signature supported.
Yes, it means that you should be able to verify a signature of these types, even if you can't create one of your own. Right, it's not required to create one of your own of every type.
Yeah, we'll get to that problem in the next PR, where I'm kind of raising that question.
Okay.
But yeah, this one's verified.
So there is a cost to adding the something else, because that means that we now have to be able to verify Bitcoin curves as well. So do we add them? Do we not?
I'd recommend that. Yeah. Again, another section if you want to do that. So.
Right. Okay. So not.
It's a good
not,
question to ask, but not. I don't think in this section.
Okay.
I'm not for requiring support for it, but it would be nice to formalize how you represent that if you are supporting it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we could mark some things optional, like, because I think this is also kind of an interop target. If you want to do Bitcoin curve, then this is what you do.
Right.
Or anything else.
Okay. So is anyone opposed to merging this as it is?
There's a capital D in the request parameters. It doesn't mean. There you go.
Oh no. That's probably from the rest as well, because I copied and pasted. Yeah, we have a couple of clarifications due on top of this, I guess. So we got the extra column to ask and add and fix this team. But I can just do an ETF for that.
Yeah, we can clean those up afterwards. Good spot, Andrew. I'm not hearing anyone that's in opposition to merging this and having it being part of AIP too, with the clarifications that we've talked about.
Go for it.
All right, I hit approve. Steven, you want to do that while I'm hitting the next one?
You bet.
So this is 593, adding P curves to 593.
So this is where I got the question about what do we, so if you click up, the previous text that's in here, right now it says everything must be supported, by the way. So I had a separate question on, did everybody see that? And should I add a column that's basically optional? It's kind of this question, does everybody actually plan to support everything, or is that sentence kind of incorrect right now? That's the question I'm going to ask, but I can just quickly say what I did here. This is the sibling to the other one where I say, if you want to do P curves, do JSON Web Signature 2020. But when I was doing that, I noticed that sentence above that says everything in this table must be supported. And I'm not sure if that was the intended sentence or not. Does anybody have any thoughts? Is it should? Is it a must? Is it not a must at all?
So
just interrupt your answer.
P384 would be a problem for a while, right?
The issue for that crate seems to have been stalled for a while. Can try to pull in another dependency, but it's not going to be at the same level of quality. I don't know that we would want to require that agents support 25519 and BBS plus signatures.
Should we reword this a little bit if we're not sure that agents should support everything on issuance? Like I could like literally take off that must be supported for components, right?
Is this enough? Somebody, should they support at least one but don't need to support all?
Well, I would kind of think that's implied if you're going to bother implementing 593.
Anyways, is there any thoughts? Having like optional curves makes the interoperability for this lot shakier. Like, I mean, now it's like you got to figure out whether you support AIP2 and you support this protocol, and then do you support the same curves? That's a pretty tall order to, you know, have all these ducks in a row to make sure that you guys can actually, or, you know, two parties can actually talk. So, I mean, I think if there isn't broad desire from the community for, you know, a different method, maybe we should think long and hard about whether it should even be part of it.
Well, there's negotiation built into this protocol as well. Credential exchange.
Over the curve? Or the signature scheme? Is that part of the negotiation?
Yeah, an offer can suggest multiple key types, can it? Proof types? Oh, this is JSON-LD cred attach. Is this part of presentation exchange? Or
yep.
Yeah, yep. Must be.
That's true. It does have that.
That makes it easier, but does not entirely solve it in the sense that if we are striving for interoperability and you don't support matching suites, then it still is not interoperable. So I think we have a couple of different options in front of us. Right now it's worded as must, which includes all of the ones down below. You could mark individual ones as a must and some as optional. Or you can kind of say that all of them are optional. Those are the three things, the three ways we have logically of addressing this.
It just seems too specialized to me to say that you must support all of these curves for proving credentials. I mean, somebody could have a, you know, domain specific agent that only ever deals with PBS Plus credentials or something. And it doesn't seem like that should be disallowed.
And that circles back to the philosophy of an interop profile, right?
Yeah, if you're in a domain specific thing, I don't know that you're striving for AIP2.
Yeah, maybe not.
Right. This isn't saying you can't build an Aries agent. It just says that this target is not something that you're going to support. So if you're not seeking to support it more broadly, then I don't know that that's a super hot issue as described anyway.
I'm kind of, at least, I'm kind of the opinion we should try to choose the minimal set, like whatever we think is, you know, try to be more selective than maybe inclusive on this, but I don't know.
I think Troy is arguing that this is the minimum set.
Yeah.
Am I right there, Troy?
Yeah, that's what I think to cover the variety of cases. I mean, some people would argue that Bitcoin, obviously, but I think from the cases I hear, I think this is the set.
Well, then if we agree on that, then I think we should maintain the must if we say it's the minimal set.
Are we saying verify, like receive, or are we saying send?
This one's the send. The previous was the verify.
I'm kind of a must on all of the verify and a one of on send. In theory, if everyone can verify all three types,
yeah,
and you're capable of sending one of them, everyone should get along, right?
Yeah.
So in this case, I believe this could be reworded to one of, instead of, you know, or, you know, that instead of all.
But usually, aren't you just with this type of signature? Aren't you just sending whatever you received from the issuer?
Yeah, this would be whatever the issuer supports, and you're just sending it back, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's a good point. Is there a better place to specify what issuers should say or must support? Keith, were you going to say something?
I was wondering, if the opposite of what you said is also true, Sam, if everyone supported sending all three, but then, and you could only verify one, it would also go for interoperability. So the question I would have is, which is the easiest hurdle for people to do? Is it, I would assume that verification of them is easier than producing all of them.
I agree.
But I just wanted to make sure that's a true statement.
I think you are right. We either all have to, you have to have all of one and then only one of the other ones because we have negotiation. I think that verifying is far easier than creating.
Right, but if you're issued a credential with BBS signature, you know, BBS Plus, and someone only can verify, you know, something else, like, there's no negotiation is not going to help you. Like, I only have a credential in a certain format. Like,
yeah,
but I think Sam said,
unless we're going to go get a different credential from the issue.
Yeah, that's why we're saying that you either have to, you know, be able to send all and verify, like be able to sign all and verify one type, or be able to, or, you know, be able to verify all types, and then doesn't matter what type you send, right?
Yeah.
The idea is that if we're going to support a system where, you know, an agent might only be able to verify one type, then we would have to be able to send all of them and negotiate which type we send. But you're talking about the case if we decide that verify should be able to verify all types that we support, and then a sender can just send whatever is most convenient.
I think we don't have to do negotiation if we do the first thing that Sam recommended, is verify all, send one. And that seems like I just wanted to make sure that it's not a higher hurdle for us to be able to verification for one of these is much harder than producing the signature.
Well, I think verifying is going to happen separate in time and space to the issuing of the credential. And so the negotiation is not going to help much at that point, right? Like if we have to negotiate what I send you, because you can only verify so many kinds, then I have to go back to the issuer, which I might have gotten the credential issued a month ago or something like that. So I think like we should require that the verification is a must. That's my opinion.
All right, that's fine.
This RFC is just about defining the attachment format for attaching credentials. Like specifying that you must be able to verify this type of signature seems out of scope there.
Yeah, I wouldn't think we'd say that in this RFC.
Yeah, sorry, that was the previous RFC that was saying that you got to verify. This one is the which ones you got to send. And I think that the wording is not the whole RFC so much as that this is, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could just basically, if we're not requiring it, you could just pull off that must be supportive for compliance with this RFC, I think.
Well, it's sort of implied then, but not explicit, then one of them must be supported. And so I think you could go to, you know, one of these must be supported.
Sure. Well, I mean, it seems like more like what you're saying is like, you got to be able to, I mean, what you send is going to be dependent on what you were issued, right? Like this, probably the must doesn't really make sense here. Like,
I think this is just pass through. So whatever the issue would be, you're like handing that.
So I'm inclined to say that we change this to one of and leave the one we already merged as is, because that's the, you got to verify these three. But you're only sending one of these. Now this has the, I think that Andrew brought up, I think it was Andrew that brought up the fact that you're going to present whatever was issued to you. And so there's sort of this cascading effect of the fact that issuers must be able to provide one of these to be AIP2 compatible.
Well, I guess for this presentation, like really you're saying like you ought to be able to present the credentials that you support, I guess, because it's not like you can switch from like a ED2519 signature to a BBS plus signature if you were issued a JSON web signature, like, so.
Right. We're not implying that you can present any credential in one of these three ways.
Yeah.
We're just saying these are the formats and how you would do so for the credentials you support.
Yeah.
I was just going to add, like on the other RFC 510, basically you include an array of all three types, indicating that the verifier supports receiving any of those, and then the wallet holder just sends whatever it has.
Yeah, I mean that seems reasonable to me.
So from an issuer standpoint, are we requiring that an issuer to be compliant, be able to issue all three?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's basically a discussion we're having. Should we basically remove that, and then we wouldn't be.
This is a weird RFC to do that because it's the format of attaching the credentials, which would actually work for both issuance and presentation, right, Troy? Is this RFC also address the format for attaching it during a during an issuance?
I think this is for the issuance, yeah.
Well, perfect.
And the other one is about the presentation button.
Right, so this is issuance, which means if we change this to one of, then it means that in order to be AIP2 compliant, you must be able to issue one of these, which I think is totally the right answer.
Go ahead.
Sorry, that's going to mean that I won't be able to work, I as a holder, if I only support one of these, then I'm not going to be able to work with some issuers, right? If we don't require all issuers to support all three.
Yeah, I think that's why, commentaries, it's a little bit weird that this section's in here because it's, in a way, you're just passing through what the issuer gave you, so.
I mean, it seems like if we're wanting to put the least burden on holders and the most burden on issuers and verifiers, that we would put all issuers must support all three, all verifiers must support all three, but holders only need to support one.
Yeah, but I think like the issuer might have constraints where like it's important to the issuer that it has maybe some features, you know, like selective disclosure like might be important to the issuer. And so like if they may not want to issue a credential to someone without that feature maybe. And so if we say they have to be willing to issue it with whichever format they want, then they kind of lose some agency on their ability to kind of have the credential, have the capabilities that they want.
So then do we say we put the least burden on issuer and then we make holders and verifiers support all three? It seems like
so.
Well, I think it can be a negotiation between the holder and the issuer. Like,
yeah, but the result of the negotiation may be, sorry, this won't work.
Exactly.
I think is what Keith is bringing up. Keith, you're bringing up a really important issue. I think that I don't think there's lots of controversy around supporting the verification of all three. But in the issue, Devin brings up important qualities about the issuer. They may be unwilling, for example, to present a non-zero knowledge capable proof, right? That does make it awkward. And I think the implication at this point is that holders would need to support all three. We're not explicitly saying so, but that is an important issue. I part of me feels like if we can just get issuers and verifiers to like get along, then holders can find out, so they can find a place in the middle that works. And it's possible that isn't something that is entirely solved by AIP2 yet. Maybe that's a bad thing to say. Maybe we must solve it right now. What you're bringing up is totally valid, but I might not strongly word it as strongly as has been suggested.
Okay. Well, yeah. I guess if we don't say one of those, then I guess what we're saying is in the negotiation, you know, someone we could claim that the you know, an issuer, a holder, and a verifier could claim AIP V2 compliance, but still fail to interoperate.
Still not pass a credential between the issuer and the holder.
Right. That seems like
I hate the sound of that.
Yeah, that seems pretty wrong to me, but I...
So the implication is that holders would be required to support all three proof types. That's a fairly large burden on holders.
Yeah.
Although I don't think the burden can be placed anywhere else sanely.
Well, I guess I still don't have, like, if you are unwilling to receive a credential, I mean, that's the agency of the agent to be able to decide that it's just not going to work out.
But it's not, it should be the agency of the person, not the agency of the software.
Yeah.
So my thought is that if you are going to claim AIP2 compatibility and the user is going to pick up your holder agent because they say, great, this will work with all the other AIP2 stuff, and then they go to an issuer and they are incapable of receiving a credential from an AIP2 issuer, that feels broken from an interoperability profile.
Yeah, I think the holder, because they're the nexus between the two, and they really have to support all three.
So they don't have to be Aries agents, but what we're talking about specifically is AIP2 is an interoperability profile, right?
Yeah.
So if you do want to be AIP2 as a holder, then it requires this level of support.
So that brings back how necessary is adding another one? Because that is what we're asking, is to increase that burden. Like, do we need this new one? You know, like I said. Is it required?
It's just hard to, you know, support all use cases if you don't have, let's call it, the old school curves of the peakers available. Not everybody's
that is forward. Hard. I want to pick on James. You work on mobile stuff. Are you like in cold sweats right now, or does this feel like something that's plausible?
I admit I am a little bit distracted, so a little bit of context would be helpful.
Okay, so we're talking about the fact that AIP2 compatibility requires compatibility of credentials. So we've talked about how on the verifier side, verifying all of the required credentials, these three in this case, I mean, this is not the right RFC for it, but is important and relatively sane to do. You can verify ones that you don't support the keys for directly, right? The issuer, it feels like the issuer should not be required to issue credentials using all technologies because they're not all equivalent. For example, an issuer may say, I'm only going to issue zero knowledge proof credentials and not a JSON-LD, JSON Web Signature variety because it doesn't support like selective disclosures or knowledge proofs, right?
Yeah.
So what that means though, is that the holder would be required to be able to receive and present all three signature types in order for an AIP2 professing issuer, holder, and verifier to actually be able to exchange credentials all the way down the line. The middle there, it puts that approach puts the greatest burden on the holder, on the holder agent.
Okay. I guess one of my thoughts, though, is we have these three different proof types, and it seems to me like this is going to only get larger and not smaller. Are we intending that, okay, if there's eight proof types, that in order to be AIP2 or later compliant, that you have to support all of those versus doing some kind of discovery mechanism to determine if you are compliant between agents? I think that's part of why we did the sub-targets, right? To be able to...
It is, but the sub-targets don't entirely get to this level, I think. But you bring up a good point. If in AIPN, there's eight of them,
yep,
reporting all eight for a holder feels really harsh.
Yeah.
So Phil asks, maybe a silly question, but why can't we just pick one? The question is which one, and then I duck as swords go over my head, right? Is that you have folks that want ED25519, you have folks that insist on JSON Web Signature, JSON-LD variety, and you know, there's getting people to agree is the hard part. That's why we have three as a minimum set. The meta question you're bringing up, though, well, Phil, you unmuted.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, maybe I'm just being silly, but it seems like this is the hard work of standards. And when you start ducking that hard work of saying, no, we're going to support this one because it has the properties we want, you end up in a situation where you don't really have any standard. And, you know, sometime down the road, like we've talked about, you've got to support 8 of them or 10 of them or 15 of them, because somebody's always going to have a different opinion. But, you know, I get trying to hold the community together, but I also think that there's some, at some point you got to say, no, this is what we do. This is our standard. And if you want to do something else, go to your own standard.
Your point is well taken in the sense that this doesn't need to be a perpetually growing list. And the benefit of that is that because this is an interoperability profile, it's not saying you can't support something. It just says you must support something, which means that you'll bring this to the smallest set possible for the interoperability goals of the profile. So 3 feels like a lot. BBS was added to ED25519 signature 2018 for the additional support of BBS Plus credentials. And adding these JSON Web Signature credentials on here is yet again expands that, right? So these will evolve, and we'll be able to drop older ones with the target that we're seeking. But that is a really good question. In this case, it's not versions necessarily. It's different different suites that have different abilities, which makes it hard to compromise. It's not like, well, I like this one because I've already written it. In some cases, it's like, I like this one because it has the features I need and I can't switch to the other one you're suggesting. So this will evolve, and we don't have to support all the old ones moving forward as in an interoperability target. The other question is that we're making interoperability claims with AIP2. And I think we have been sort of assuming that that means interoperability all the way to the credential level. I don't know if we've actually explicitly stated that, but that's one of the issues there. James has brought up the fact that that sub-targets could indicate this. I don't feel weird about doing that right now, but sub-targets could indicate this such that you could see with your AIP2 sub-target level what variety you would be, and you need to make sure that you had software that was compatible with the same sub-targets in that manner to be able to interoperate together. Phil's point is that why can't we just have less? And I think that's valid, but I don't know that we're going to be able to get to one. I do think that we can get to small, but I don't think we can get to one.
So is it like, this is like TLS cipher suites, right? Should we say AIP2.0 and modify that with the signature schemes you support? So AIP2.0 compatible doesn't, you have to provide more info.
Steven, you haven't spoken up in a minute. But James, you were talking. Sorry, I interrupted you.
You're good. I know I would feel more comfortable if we said the core AIP2 requires ED255 and BBLS plus, like those two, and then having JSON Web Signature as a sub-target makes sense to me. I feel like that is a very good way for you to indicate exactly what you were saying, Keith, of saying this is something that I also support. I mean, I feel like we have a mechanism for already doing that. And so that gets us to less, which goes to Phil's point, but also allows for extensibility.
So in other words, you're proposing that if someone says they're AIP v2 compliant, then that means they have to be the first two on this list, but not necessarily the third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have, like, Sam, I have a question. Like, I mean, looking at the AIP thing, AIP 2.0, you know, PR, like there's two sub-targets. There's JSON-LD based credentials and BBS plus based credentials. And like, I'm now confused as to how what we've been talking about relates to those two targets, because it seems like there might be some complexity around that too, right?
This is JSON-LD credentials.
Right, but both the BBS plus based credentials and JSON-LD credentials has this 0593 JSON-LD cred attach,
right,
as a required RFC. But like if you were doing the BBS plus base credential subtarget, like supporting JSON web signature might not make a lot of sense if you're just choosing that target. Is what I'm saying making any sense? Maybe it's not. I don't know. But
So let me try to say it back. You're saying that you might want to do JSON-LD without roping in the JSON web signature stuff. And should that be allowed and classified under a subtarget?
Well, I mean, it seems like we already have subtargets that are kind of differentiating on which of these you support. So
right. And your proposal is that the JSON web signatures becomes an optional piece of a subtarget if you want to identify, rather than part of one of the existing ones.
I'm not necessarily proposing. I mean, that could be a proposal, but it just seems like we're being a little, we're not, like we have this complexity of like the different sub-targets and we've been talking like they don't exist. And so I'm wondering if we're just missing a piece of.
No, they do. Puzzle. So there's the other thing you didn't say, which is if you don't support either of these sub-targets, do you have to do this? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
Right. Is that this is not part of core, which means that you can still be AIP2 compatible and not speak any of this. So, but all the previous statements apply in the sense that if you say that you are, JSON-LD BBS plus compatible, where I forget the name of the subtarget. If you say that, then what does that actually mean? But it does mean it on a bit of a smaller level, simply because this is not part of core at this point.
Right, but I mean, if you're doing BBS plus, like supporting JSON web signature might not really make much sense.
Right.
You're trying to support the BBS.
Just BBS plus. And that's a fair argument.
Well, it's not really an argument, more of an observation, I guess.
Well, it leads me to an argument in that the expansion of the this particular expansion of the JSON-LD cred attach adds some additional dependencies to subtargets that may not have been trying to target them.
Yeah.
I think the core issue, Troy, is what we mean when we say compatible with a thing. And this has implications on the subtargets that include this RFC. And so the question is whether we're okay with requiring support of JSON web signatures in order to specify that you are compatible with this, with one of the subtargets that includes this.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's why I'm actually kind of apologizing, guys, because like I seem to have hijacked the unification call with this, but that's really the reason I brought this up, because there's a sentence that says that must be supported, right? And it's either we're just going to say like we have some required ones, or we're just saying, you know, you're supporting some set of this table, and then we're just kind of debating what's the argument or what's the mechanism of specifying that support as some text in your agent supported feature table, right?
Well, so I'm wondering if we shouldn't move what you support out of here and into, I mean, I don't know where the right place is, but like if you're saying you support JSON-LD based credentials, that subtarget, the LD cred subtarget, then maybe you need to support ED2519 signature and maybe JSON web signature. And if you want to support the BBS cred subtarget, then you need to support the other, you know, the BBS plus signature. And so like, if we maybe move this, you know, this, maybe if we move this RFC to say, we're not specifying here what the curves that, you know, can be attached that's specified in a different RFC, then maybe we can reach someplace, or, you know, we can finalize this RFC and then, but we might have to, but we may have to move like what is supported to a different RFC. I don't know what that would be, but it almost seems like that's what we need to do.
So practically speaking, hang on real quick, just point of order. We've got 15 minutes left and we either ratify the AIP2 RFC or we don't at the end of this call, right? So that's what's on the line here. If this is not going to get ratified, then we'll continue to talk about it next week. And to be clear, this is just for the subtargets that include the JSON-LD credential attachment. It seems like this is an unfortunately late add, number one. And number two, that this could, one of the solutions here could be a sub-target that allows for moving towards this, but doesn't require it of the peripheral sub-targets.
Like right now we have two sub-targets, one for JSON-LD, which we don't specify signatures, and BBS Plus, which does. It almost feels like supporting ED25519, again, I'm not a cryptographer or anything like this, an expert on this, but like that's almost a given because all of the, you know, pretty much all of the communication we're doing is with 25519. Like that must be easy. BBS Plus, it gives us selective disclosure. I guess I'm going to, do we have three different things that are sub-targets versus the two we have now? Or do we just reorganize the two with the P curves being a separate target? Because they're all going to point to this same attachment. It's really just under the covers, what do you support?
Right.
Yeah, so I'm just curious if the concrete proposal would be, if this thing doesn't say must be supported for client compliance with this RFC, and then you just basically say in the targets, which ones must be supported, that might be one way to do it. Or if we're saying some of these are globally required, like ED25519, I guess we could say required and then the other one optional. So. I mean, like I can do a quick fix now, which is just like mark JSON Web Signature 2020 optional, if that helps move us along for today.
I think that would, that makes it no worse than it was before, which and I think is good. Okay. If we mark that one as optional in this particular table, then I think we can move forward because we haven't really changed any of the requirements.
I think another option, Sam, is maybe we vote on ratifying the core. And then like we say that we still have a little bit of details to work out on some of the sub-targets.
Oh, I actually don't. That's a good one.
That also, I think maybe goes, I don't know if there was conversation on this, but the capability to add sub-targets past the original ratification of AIP 2.0.
Yes, we did more or less decide that adding subtargets is not harmful because it doesn't move a target; it just provides a new one. That's a super good point. So we could, if we make this optional, Troy, and we approve this, ratify it, we get it in. Then what happens now is the is that we could add a subtarget later that makes it not optional by with language in the new subtarget.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. Let's do it and move forward. I already did it, so
okay. Refresh. I will hit refresh.
But I mean, what do we mean by it being optional? I like
that means that if you're supporting 593 from an AIP2 perspective, this optional one does not fall under the must category. Also, true. I don't know if it got irritated or just the rendering struggle.
But like, I mean, does that mean that like, if I guess if you receive one, you can just reject it out of hand and still be AIP compliant? Then is that what?
Yes.
Is that what we mean by optional?
That's what it means.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
It means that specifically for a holder, you don't have to be able to support that.
Okay. So like, but on any level, you can just reject it out of hand. It's like, that's not.
Yes.
That's not something I support. And then you still can.
Not required as an issuer, claim. Not required as a holder, although verifier still does include it.
All right.
Okay. Hit refresh again. Sorry.
There we go.
Okay. So this is what you guys want. So those two are not optional and JSONWeb signatures.
I'm okay with this. Other opinions?
Looks good to me. I was thinking of saying that if we're going to support P256, 384 at the normal tier for connection management, then we should support them here. But the support is a little different for connections. You're just looking at key agreements, whereas here it's signatures.
Right.
So yes, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and okay. That's why I did it this way with both of them, because I was just matching. So I was on the same mindset. But anyways, let's go.
Is anyone opposed to having this merged and part of AIP too? Now's your chance. Okay, let's do this one. And I think there was one more. Hopefully it doesn't take as long as the last one.
Yeah, the other one's one line.
This is adding a note.
So I was trying to respond to Timo, and I don't think I like completely satisfied Timo's issue. So I think we will have to do some more clarifications later. But I was just trying to say, if you're specifying the credential type, then you know BBS BLS Signature Proof 2020 is also in the list. Because that's the type that goes on the derived credential and not the presentation.
And this was a clarification that we were talking about from last time.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I completely covered it because I didn't have time, but this was the best. I basically tried to put a hook in for him so we can do more clarifications on top.
Yep. Is anyone opposed to merging this? Okay, I'll hit that one. Back to the P curves. This one didn't get merged somehow, Stephen. Is that because we keep merging other stuff?
Yes. I don't know
why. Rebase?
It needs a review again, oddly. Hold on. There was a review a moment ago and then it went away.
I got it.
Okay.
Okay, cool. It's been merged.
The only last thing I was just mentioning in the agenda, and I know we're out of time, is you know, we wanted a mediator interop, and then just kind of pointing out we didn't put transport return route. So you know, agents that don't have an endpoint might not have full interop capability in the AIP2.
I'm less concerned about that, although it may, no, that's a sub-target, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just not listed at all. So I'm just saying that the mediator coordination one doesn't actually have 93 in it. So just a suggestion to put it there to actually have interop on these devices that don't have endpoints.
So you're proposing that in the mediator coordination, we add return route
as one of the RFCs. I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yes, I think that's an appropriate place to put it, given the fact that it's generally used with mediators anyway. Is anyone opposed to that particular addition?
I'm in favor. That's the mechanics that we've at least utilized normally.
Right. Okay. Okay, I don't know how quick Stephen is, but we can sure update that. I'm inclined at this point to have a vote. We've just talked about these other ones and other sub-targets and mechanisms to handle that. Do we want to ratify the entire thing with the addition of adding a sub-target later, or do we want to just go after core opinions?
I'd like to just get it done.
Yeah.
Okay, so here is, these of course will need to be updated to the newest version links of these various things, and Stephen will do that afterwards. But as it stands, is there anyone that wants to make any initial objections to ratifying AIP2 as it is in this RFC with the addition mentioned by Troy, which is a good one, which is the return route RFC gets added to the mediator coordination subtarget?
This includes ratifying the subtargets, correct?
It does include ratifying the subtargets. We could, of course, add one if we needed to.
Thumbs up here.
Okay. Should how formal should we be in this process on the actual vote? Should we ask for objections or should we ask for a yes? We've never done this on a call before, Stephen. Any thoughts?
Yeah.
Do you want to ask for a verbal?
Yeah, I think we should ask for a verbal.
Okay. I'm going to run down the list. And at the end, if I'm going to try and not lose anybody here. So I'm going to ask for a verbal. I think the answers are yes, meaning I vote to ratify this. No, I don't want to ratify this, or abstain. You're voicing that you're excluding yourself from the vote and don't have an opinion. Does that sound like a good process?
Sounds good to me. I want to just put one thing in there that I still think there's some clarifications for Timo's issues, and Timo isn't here. On that presentation exchange one, that's why I added the hook in there. So just wanted people to be aware of that.
Agree, and any clarifications that are making something that was ambiguous less ambiguous, is those are acceptable, as is the potential of adding a new sub-target, should that be good? Should we decide that that's a good thing to do? Okay, let me run down the list. I'm gonna try and do this intelligently here. Keith.
Yes.
Steven.
Yes.
AJ.
Yes.
Andrew.
Yes.
Devin Fisher.
Yes.
Philip Berklau.
Yes.
James Ebert.
Yes.
Roland Quadras. Rolson.
Yeah.
Quadras.
Yeah.
And Troy Ronda.
Yeah.
I vote yes. Did I miss anybody?
No, you didn't.
Oh.
I even wrote them down what we voted.
Perfect. Okay. This is great. Steven, that means that this is ready for a version update with your scripted magic.
Yeah. And So the two things I'm going to do, just to be clear and just a reminder. So one thing I'm going to do is update to the latest commit prior to this. So all of the pointers within here will be to a single commit at this point, and then any clarifications will adjust from there. The second thing I'm going to do is I discovered if I create a gist of the V1 and the V2 ones, I just copy and paste raw, we can get a nice diff between them. And so I'm going to do that for every AIP V1 and every VIP that is also in 2, so that we can easily see what the differences are. And I'll add those links. So those are the only two changes I'll make, and then we'll merge.
There's a third one, adding RFC 93 to the mediator coordination.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I'm in the middle of doing that.
And you could catch on that, Troy.
Transport return rep. Yeah.
Okay. With a minute to spare.
So I mean, as we go to implement this, like if we find deficiencies or unclarities or like things that aren't consistent, like do we have a plan for how we adjudicating that?
So the method is, in general, any clarification can be made. And what we do is we update the RFC itself with the clarification, and then we update this to point to the clarified version. Is that reasonable?
Yeah.
And should you not know what the answer is, you can always propose it, right? If you know what the answer should be. If you don't know what the answer should be, raise it as an issue, bring it up on a call, and we'll figure it out.
Yep.
Okay. But I mean, we're going to allow for like...
Absolutely.
Fixes, like, you know, like we shouldn't be changing the standard, but like if the language is ambiguous or...
That's exactly correct.
Different interpretations of what X means, like we might need to... Okay. So exactly. We'll plan on dealing with that as we implement it.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Again, not moving the target, just clarifying the target.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
Well, I think we're done for today. Thanks everyone for being here. This is a lot of work to get to this point, but I'm proud of it. We've done good as a group figuring out hard issues and figuring stuff out. I hope the rest of your week is awesome. And we will catch you next week.
Not talking about this.
Maybe, but definitely including something else. I'm ready. Awesome. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Sam. Nice job.